Simen Kuf Mem Vav. The Mechaber tells us also lotzis laniach sefer Torah kshu basuach. If you're in shul and they're laying, you can't just walk out to bizayon. Between aliyahs, you're allowed. Again, all things being equal, if you didn't hear the kriya, you should say that you hear the kriya. But if you already heard it, or you have to go for a very important reason, so being gavra legavra is more kal. Again, for zark gadol mamish, you know, so even the emsali it's mutter, but in general, we try not to leave. It's a design to the tar. Okay, base. Kevan shehischil hakore likros b'sefer Torah asur l'saper. Very important halacha. You shouldn't shmooze during kriyas Torah. A few of the Torah, even if you're talking in lamdas or in learning. A few in gavra legavra, even between aliyahs. What's wrong with talking between aliyahs? What's the derech of a conversation?
It
drags out. You have a kash, you have a teretz, shema yimashe. But some are matir to learn on your own between aliyahs. If you want to look at the Ramban and Chumash, you can, you know, we're not choshe shema yimashe. But feeling hishlim who a parsha, even if you read the parsha already, v'yesh matirim ligros ebilacha, some matir to learn while the balkor is laying. There are 10 people already listening. Some say if other people are listening, you can talk, which is obviously not a good idea because then you never know who's listening, who's not. And we don't have anybody who's Torasu Mnaso, the folks can bring down in this regard, in terms of whether you have to go to the army, can get involved in the politics of it. But when it comes to this issue, nobody's Torasu Mnaso that he doesn't, talk and learning. You can talk and learning. It's a chovas tzibur. It's a chovas tzibur. So, Mela, as long as the Torah is being read and 10 people are listening, that's okay. You have a question? Rosh Tachter, even Rosh Tachter doesn't,
He is, but he wouldn't.
Exactly. He is, but he wouldn't. Okay. It's because anybody who's Torah Subnoso has the sensitivity to the importance of Kriyas Torah and wouldn't want to Chas V'Shalom be Mizpas of the Torah. Yishma Tirin L'misha Kodem Shiniftach HaSefer Machzer Panav Umare Asmash Ena Rotsa L'Shmo HaSefer Torah El Likros Maske Likros. So if you, like, you're sitting in the back of the shul and they're diving in the front and you turn around, so then maybe it's Mutter. Again, if you're not part of the minion. You can read with the Balkoret, one of the mikros. V'chol zeh einu shabbos zochor parshas parash ein ba'asara dereis shesarech l'chavin l'sham pi akore v'nochon shekol parshas roi l'daktik v'tvarav l'chavin dait l'sham pi akore. So the Mechaber says it's better always to listen. If you want to be yotzei shana mikra, you can, but not for parashas zochor parashas parash. Then you have to just listen to the Balkore. So if you're going to, be makil to try to chop around one of the mikras by reading along with the Balkore, so you should be sure not to disturb other people. Sometimes you have people who are out loud, they're being Irisedra with the Balkore. That's not appropriate. But again, it seems like it's a kula. The Mechaber recommends not reading along, just listening. That's the more ideal way of listening to Kriyas Torah, just to listen, not to talk, not to. And sometimes people, are very, the whole day they're not concerned with Biddle Torah. Suddenly, in the middle of, Kriyas Torah, in the middle of Arach Zasashat, they have to take out a Gemara. So, it's, you wonder, what the priorities are. But ideally, you should be listening to the.
I don't know any people like that.
Definitely not. Asu l'safek, shem after korav inavi, asher Torah, just like you can't talk during the laning, you shouldn't talk during the haftorah. Either. This is, the sif in Shulchan Aruch that is against the Kiddush clubs. People go outside. A couple of years ago, the OU tried to put their foot down. People are leaving, a little davening. I grew up in a show like this. There was a bunch of people who would go out and they would have a little Kiddush outside. It's a terrible thing. It's not so fashion. People are very attached. But it's really not right. It's not right.
Is it better that they should sit in and talk?
No, they shouldn't talk. They should sit and listen. No, I believe in them. I think they can sit and listen. Important to believe in the congregants.
It really hasn't been a congregation.
I actually started off my career as a intern in a shul, so I know a little bit about that. In Fort Lee, back in the day. Anyway, The Rishon Rur brings down that you should mechave into the brachos to answer Amen. And in fact, there's the issue of mea brachos on Shabbos. If you don't have a full mea brachos, if you answer Amen to the brachos, it could be those count, you know, b'di'eved towards your mea brachos. You have a lot of brachos here. You have 7 aliyahs, 8 aliyahs, and there are bracha before, bracha after, haftarah. You can get 20 brachos there, easy. You know? Okay. Ein sarich la'amod v'umad. You're allowed to sit during Kriyas Torah. But the Rama says, V'yesh machvirim v'omdin v'chin osam aram. The Rama says that some have the practice to stand. That was the minhag of the Maharam. The Mishabura points out that the Ola and the Balkorei have to stand. That's been covered at Sibur. But the people listening don't have to stand. Likewise, when the Torah is moving, you have to stand. When they bring the Torah back and forth to the Amud, you have to stand, but during the actual laning, you don't have to stand. The Mishabura, though, points out that since Baruch Hashem and Vorach is a Davar Shemekdusha, you should have to stand at that point. And in fact, there are those who sit, but they stand for the Baruchos. And that's not the accepted practice. The accepted practice is that many people sit throughout the entire Kriya, and this is based on the Arizal, who is very makvi to sit, of the Kabbalah. You're supposed to sit for the entire Kriya Torah, including the Baruchos. And like I said, that's the minhag olam. I think it's very uncommon to have people who stand dafka for the baruchos. Most people sit or they stand. You disagree?
I've noticed specifically like certain like women who like
stark. There's some Mr. Brewer even. Yeah. Stark people. Most people don't know this Mr. Brewer. So
what's also weird is like they're like the ones who are like more into like learning Gemara. Uh-huh. So, like it's funny that they're the ones who are like more into learning Gemara.
Okay.
Like this is the Mr. Brewer stuff.
Okay. The Mishabura is actually, I don't want to get into politics, but the heter the Rav had for women learning Gemara was based on the Mishabura, because the Mishabura opened up the Pesach for women learning Torah Shabbat Peh, you know, in a limited fashion, and the Rav expanded it, so it's not... Okay. Anyway, the Mishabura points out that the practice of standing is, you know, based on this idea that every one level is just Kabbalah Torah, but it also seems to be based on the Lavush. And the Rav liked this idea that every Kriyas Torah is like a miniature Kabbalah Satara. We mentioned, I think, last time that they have the Sirsur, the Gabai, and you know, it's like Moshe is receiving it from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and people are listening. So at Har Sinai we stood. So going to be every Kriya is a miniature, you know, Mamir Har Sinai, and therefore there is anything to stand. Additionally, there seems to be anything to stand because there is a common practice to stand for the Seres HaDibros and for the, you know, Shira Sayam and for the end of the Svarim. And the Rambam has a tshuva where he rejects this minhag. He says, you're not allowed to show that any part of the Torah is more important than the other part. So if we stand for the Seres HaDibros, people will think that's the only important part. And therefore, it's us who to stand for the Seres HaDibros. So I actually heard of one Rav whose practice is to stand all year round because he didn't want to have to stand up for the Seres HaDibros. And to me, it's a bit excessive. You could just stand for the whole Aliyah, you know, or that week you could stand. It doesn't have, it's easier to stand off for the Seres HaDibros. And the meaning of all of them is to stand for the Seres HaDibros. And, you know, the Rishon Zalman is matzdik. Nobody today is going to think that that's the only part of the Torah that's important. Although, there are cab drivers who think, you know, I need that tea. I keep doing it. Ten Commandments, although I don't know if they know that Shabbos is one of the Ten Commandments. Anyway, it's Arachim. Lemaisa, people have a practice to sit, people have a practice to stand. If you're at a place where the practice is one thing, it makes sense, you know, not to be Porish Menet Sibur. Namely, if you're at a place where everybody stands, to sit might be considered, you know, although always people are sitting, I guess, and don't see where everybody stands. Right? Some yeshivas, I don't know. I mean, I think the minhag is to be pretty makeup unless it's good. If you want to stand, everybody's sitting, so you're not holy with them now. You're just, that's your minhag. It's okay. There are some places where, you know, they're very strong in hugging. Like in embroidery, they're very strong in hugging with certain things. So you can't break with the minhag because, like, most places people are more chilled about the minhag. They don't care if what you do so much. So it's not a problem unless it's good. Say any questions, comments? Okay, weiter. Kuf Mem Zayin. Aser le'echol Sefer Torah Aram v'lo mitpachas. There's an iser to touch the cloth of a Sefer Torah without a mitpachas, to hold it as if it was Aram, as if it was naked. And this is from a Gemara. It says, you know, your nikbar Aram, very harsh language. Gemara explains that you lose this mitzvah. If you hold the Sefer Torah without the mitpachas, you lose this mitzvah. Now, obviously, if you're a sofer who's writing a sefer Torah, you can hold the sefer Torah that way. Likewise, if it's falling, or you can catch it that way. But all things being equal, try not to touch the cloth of the sefer Torah. The lakore has a yad; he doesn't touch with his finger. He has a yad, and usually it's not okay during hagba. Like sometimes the cloth falls down, so we try to take a talis. You don't need to use your hand, you know, usually. So you take your talis, and you lift up the Torah with your talis. Some say that it's true for all Kisvei HaKadosh. We just had Purim, so if you want to touch the Megillah, our minhag is to first wash our hands, then we touch the Megillah. But I say for Torah, washing hands doesn't help. You know, we try not to touch it regardless. Washing hands doesn't help, but for Megillah, our minhag is to wash our hands before we touch the cloth of a Megillah. Here in the Beis Medrash, we have cloths of the other Megillos, not just Megillos, the Haftarah, but I think they're Atzei Chaim, right? So you don't have to touch them, right? I'm pretty sure they're Atzei Chaim. Yeah, most Megillos don't have Atzei Chaim. That's why, you know, you have to touch it. So the minhag is to wash our hands before we touch. Questions, comments? He doesn't have to. I mean, it's just easier, you know. If he doesn't need it, he doesn't need it. Maybe it's also helpful for the.
I'm getting an altar. He
shows me
the place.
Someone
kisses, touches,
he doesn't. Yeah, some people kiss and say, but you don't need to. But it's a way of showing respect to the Torah.
You make a point. You don't have to do anything.
I mean, the Valkyrie should show you where he's reading from, so he should point. And then now you, if you see where it is, see where it is. If you don't, you can ask him. The Mechaber continues, Gadol Sheba Osam Shekara V'Tara Golo. So this is the custom of having Galila before. Gadol Sheba Osam Shekara V'Tara Golo. The Gadol gets Galila. Gilim Knosu V'Dami Kari Mechaber V'Tara Mitzvah. This is not our practice. Today, Galila, when he sees Galila, it seems like he's talking about Hagba. We usually have in Ashkenazi Sefer Torah, you have one person lifts it up, and another person is Golo. So there's the Magbia, and there's the Golo. So the Gemara speaks about how the Magbia is, you know, a chashuv thing. You should give it to the Gadol. But as far as we have it, only a Magbia. There's no Golo. So it seems like there's an Indian to get it. There's a lot of scar associated with it. It seems like the Tani Minhag is to give Galila Dafka to the Ketanim, to the Mechabev them, the mitzvah, to get them involved. They can do it. Mishra points out, as I mentioned before, that you should give Hagbah to a person who's strong and who's able to do it. Sometimes you get, you know, a 13-year-old boy, that's him to do Hagbah, he's not able to. An old man. Galila, you can give anybody Galila. Fine. The Ramah continues, so his idea would be like just like the Aron, the Zahav is Bifnim. Usually we have regular, you know, mantles for the Tzara. It goes on only one way. You shouldn't use a ripped mantle. You should use a nice mechubed piece of cloth that wasn't used for other purposes to make the mantle for the Sefer Torah. The mantle is Tashmishi Kedusha, touches the Sefer Torah. Questions, comments? Okay, right. Base. Yochol Mishi Yirza Lignos Lahoshit Me'ilin Lugo Lagolel Ve'ein Hagolel Yochol Limchos Bo Ki Ein Al Pi Al Ki Afal Pi Shekana Glila Lekana Lika Chame'ilim. So once upon a time they would sell Aliyah, some shuls they still do. And the cheshbon here is that these are Tzipra Kibudim. So the Golel bought Galila, but the ability to be moshit the mantle to him is a different kavod, and he doesn't have that kavod. Right? Even though the chazan usually takes the sefer Torah, if they sold hotzas a sefer to somebody, so the chazan doesn't do it. The person who purchased that kibud has the right to take out the sefer Torah. Usually what it's done is he takes out and gives it to the chazan. But either way, it's all totally in the minhag, and the general principle is that it's good to even vater and kavod, you know, kol rodei v'achar kavod, you know, doesn't usually end well. Beseder. And this is also a question of mamonos, because they had to raise money, so they wanted to split up kibudim, to sell various kibudim, to make sure that the shul was able to, you know, pay the bills. Himmel. Hagol sefer Torah ya'am deno kenegat ha-tefer kadesh im yikra ha-tefer. So if you notice, the sefer Torah is made out of many pieces of parchment. So the gvil is, let's say, four or five columns on every gvil of writing. Then in between every gvil, it's sewn together with pishta, or with gidin, rather, right? With gidin. So the halacha is that when you bend to pick up the sefer Torah, you should have the atzichayim on. You're holding the atzichayim with each of your hands, and the middle should be a tefer. In the middle, it should be where it was sewn together. What's the rationale for that? Because if chas v'shalom it would rip there. It's more natural to rip on the tefer as opposed to rip on the parchment, or the sefer Torah itself would rip. Today, our cloth is much higher quality. The likelihood of the sefer Torah ripping is very, very slim. It could be that's why many people aren't careful with this halacha, but it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch, so it makes sense to be makbi that when you get hagba, you sometimes have to turn the atichayim a little bit to make sure that the tefiros, the two pieces of parchment, meet in the middle of where you're lifting up. So if you're lifting up three amudim, so the middle one should have, you know, in the middle you should have the tefiros. It would rip, but not on the cloth. It seems like the cloth was. If it rips on the cloth, it's not the end of the world, because you didn't rip the Torah. You can then re-sew it. If it rips on the cloth, so then it's, you know, b'zayin to the masasum came l'shem lokeichem. You're ripping Shem Hashem. You're ripping the Torah. Right. That's the assumption. Like I said, the matzias is different, but I don't know. I didn't see poskim who said since the matzias is different, the halakha changes. It seems like. It's recommended. Even today, it could rip. You know, sometimes you have a situation where there's a small rip at the bottom, and then it can get bigger. The cloth itself, once it starts to rip, it can rip pretty easily. And it's just that it usually doesn't start to rip because our cloth is just made very good mechatchila. But the old sefer Torah could be. I mean,
is there an Indian to open?
I don't think so.
Yeah,
but not more than that. They say, yeah, it's very hard to lift it if you just open it for one column. It's very hard. You need to have a little leverage. So you know, Ashkenazi is a bit tough. I've seen people open, like, you know, eight columns. I don't know if that's right. That's for carrots. Usually then, what happens is when you try to roll it up, the sefer Torah falls. So yeah. I don't think it's appropriate to do that. Yeah, we spoke about that. I think the past, that people spin in different directions. I think everybody should see it. So, you know, some people spin, you know, a full circle, and other people do a half this way, a half that way. Different. I don't think so, as far as I know. As far as I know, it's all good. You should try to make sure that it goes in all directions so people can see it. If they don't see it. Seder. Hagola Sefer Torah, Gola Mechutz, K'shehu Mahat Ko Mahat B'Fnim. This is a Gemara Megillah. It seems like we do things a little differently. So the way the Ramah explains it, Perush HaSefer Omid L'fanav Yaksav Negative Panav Yaskel L'Glol B'Vachutz V'Achach Gomar Haglila Yehadei K'sof HaMitvachas B'Fnim. So usually we have a Magbiya and a Golal. The Magbiya lifts it up. The Golal is standing on the outside. He's not standing by the K'sav. He's standing behind the Sefer Torah. So that's Mihatko V'Vachutz. And then once he fully is Golal, he reaches over and he ties it where? On the side of the K'sav. Because we want a situation where the next time you open the Sefer Torah, you can easily open it. If they tie it on the back, so when they open the Sefer Torah next time, they got to reach under. It'll be uncomfortable. So that's why sometimes they give little kids galila. Kids don't always know. They put the thing on the wrong side. So you nicely tell them that they should reach over and try to, usually today it's with Velcro or with a clip, you should use the clip on the side of the ksav. Once upon a time it was an actual bow. It was more challenging to reach over and make a bow. Today, it's a little bit easier. Okay, questions, comments? Our practice is to always hold the Sefer Torah with the Ksav outside, meaning after the Magbiya, his Magbiya, he turns around the Sefer Torah, so the Ksav is facing outside. That wasn't the accepted practice by the Chazanish. The Chazanish felt always hold the Sefer Torah with the Ksav facing you, that you should be able to read it. So when he took the Sefer Torah out of the Aron, he would hold it with the Ksav facing him. But that's not the accepted practice. The accepted practice is we want to show the Torah to everybody, so therefore we turn it around. So you do the Magbia, after he finishes, turns it around so the Ksav is facing everybody else. There are different practices. There's logic what the Chasanish said, but that's not, you know, the accepted minhag. So it would be odd to follow the, you know, a psak, unless you're davening, you know, in the Letterman Shul in the Bnei Brak. You don't follow that. It would just be, you know, Yura to do such a thing. But logically, it makes sense. Yeah. No, it seems like.
Is there any, like, we talked about Kadimos
I mean,
those kinds of things?
Any connection to Sefer Torah is important. Somebody told me once, he was a Gabbai, he said he once offered Galila to an important person, and he like was felt like the guy was like insulted. He shouldn't be insulted. It's a kavod to be involved. It happens to be they often give Galila to young kids, so you know, I can understand why a person would be insulted, but it's a schus to be connected to Sefer Torah. It's a tremendous schus. If I cared, it seems like the Hagolal. No, not Oskar Kulon, even though Hagolo there might have been Magbia, because it was like one person who would do both. But we should look at our connection to Sefer Torah as a schus, and we should appreciate it. It's a Seder.
So, where does the
minhag of Sefer Torah come from? They do a Hagban Sukkos Torah and they flip it. That's the shame of Simcha. I mean, the emphasis is that the Sfarim always would do Hagba, the Ksav is on the outside. That's the whole point. You want to show the Ksav. They can't do it the other way. It would be very hard, very challenging. You could theoretically hold it this way. Well, and it's just, there's a tape. Oh, okay, the vort. You could be a rabbi. The it could be the time. I don't know. I don't, it's good to know how to think on your feet, you know. My brother was a rabbi, he's a rabbi. So, they had an Aron Kodesh, it was like a little hard to open. And the minhag is that when a woman is expecting in the ninth month, they sometimes give, you know, psicha. So the guy tried to open the Aron and it got stuck, got jammed. He got very fahitzed. So my brother said to him, oh, Kashmak was mostly his kas, etzi vavanim, and in this skos, you should, your wife should have a, you know, an easy labor delivery. So you have to know how to, you know, how to package things. Okay. This is Seder. Just a second. Let's just read the Ramah again. Dalad. Shasefer omed lefanav yaksav neged panav yaskel liglu b'chutz. Ve'achar shegomer glil yehadik sof mitvachas b'fneim k'shiyavu likros bo yimsa yehiduk b'fneim v'li yitzarek lahapek ha-sefer tar. V'nir dekol zem ayrik she'echar oseh kol ha-glilu. V'achshav shenohagin l'she'echar magbiya v'echar gol ha-laksav yeh neged ha-magbiya v'chein nohagin. I'm not so clear what they did then, but this is our minhag, like I described. Okay. Fighter. Hey. Mutar shidakal mitvacha savi sefer Torah v'leigalgal sefer Torah k'shechora korcho mitvacha. So it's not covered to take the mitvacha, take the sefer Torah and move it around the mitvacha. For care, you take the mitvacha, like the Yakim do have it, like a mitvacha they wrap around. So you wrap the mitvacha around the sefer, not vice versa. Okay, Zayin Hagolal Sefer Torah B'Toch HaTik Toa. You shouldn't be Golal when it's in the Tik. Mishmur says the Chash will get ruined that way. It'll rip. Zayin Einam After Maskel Ad Sheyigmar Ligol Sefer Torah Kadesh Lo Yeh Golal Torah V'Yochal Lishma Aftar. This is an important halacha. You have to wait until the Galila is finished, until the Galila is finished, and the Sefer Torah is covered, until you start the Aftar. We don't want to have a situation where, you know, the Gava is wants to get things moving, and he's rushing, and then the people who are doing Hagav Galila won't be able to listen to the brachos, they won't be able to hear, and therefore you have to wait until you're done. Okay. Ches,
biyom sheyesh. Can you give me a vocal on this for like different
Gemara? I don't think so.
I feel like I've seen it before. But that doesn't mean that it's much.
If you look at the Mishabura Chav Kimmel, the Kodesh Prima Gadim, the Minhag L'Hamtin Ad Etzem Gemar Galila Sefer Apshul Karcho Adayin HaMapa Aleh. According to Prima Gadim, it's enough that they rolled it up, even though they didn't actually finish. So maybe people are something on that. But he says, Mashi Lamash McCain. So I think the minhag is to try to wait until it's complete, until the wheel is complete. Vav, sorry, Ches. V'yom sheyesh b'shnei sefer Torah liyiftechu hashniya v'leisur v'mapa ad sheyigalu harishon. So if you have two sefer Torah, let's say it's, you know, Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, so the second sefer Torah is for Rosh Chodesh, and you only open up the second one once the first one is already done. Mr. Brewer points out that there is a problem of chavilos chavilos. Right, so here in the yeshiva, we lay in the haftarah with a klaf. So it might be equivalent to this. It might be, if you lay in the haftarah with a klaf, it could be in Ikarit, then you have to finish, you know, putting away the Torah, meaning putting away that has to be covered until you take off the mantle of the klaf. There was once a boy in the yeshiva who was very makbid. These people aren't so makbid about this. So it created a little bit of tension, because even if you're right, you have to know how to articulate that in a way that people can makavel, instead of telling people they're shkatzim because they, you know, take off the, you know, I mean, he didn't say that, but he was very harif about it. So again, obviously everything has to be sum seichel, and you know, if you feel there's something that's not being done properly, you have to be meyer in a way that people can makavel. But most people, it doesn't happen so much, because usually the emotionals, they don't lay in with a klaf. You know, they can open up, take the Tanakh, and start finding a place while they're doing the Hagva and the Galila. Usually by the time they find the place, it's already it's done. The Seder. The Ramah explains, you only do Hagva on the first Sefer once you put the second one on. When we take it to Svarim, so you take them out immediately by the Psichas Aaron, and somebody holds it until it needs to be used. And now, in some shuls, they have this practice where they don't have somebody hold the Sefer, but they put the Sefer like on a little bench. So that's a big debate. Rav Moshe Feinstein was very against that. He thought that was the wrong practice. He thought that if the Sefer Torah is there, people have to stand. It's not Makomo. You have somebody holding it, that's Mechobar. But like I said, it's a practice in some shuls, and there are poskim, the Minchas Yitzchak, Dain Weiss, you know, was Malab Eschus on that practice. And like I said, there are those who are somich on that. But it seems like the most ideal way of having, of transporting a Sefer Torah is having somebody hold it. It's the same true as when you, let's say, bring a Sefer Torah from one place to another. You don't just put it in the trunk. You hold it. Somebody holding it, that's the most mechubed way of transporting a sefer. Okay, so that's exactly the yeah, like a baby. It's true. Okay, that's 100%. 100%.
So what about, is there exactly what you're supposed to do in terms of, like, before you are Gola with the first Sefer Torah, are you supposed to take the second Sefer Torah and put it on the Bima?
After, when they finish, you know, Shvi, so then they take the Mafter Sefer and they put it on the Aron, on the Bima, next to the Balkore, and then they call it Magbiya.
Why do they do that? Why do they adapt it?
Because it says here, Shalai Siach Daitan Min Mitzvahs. In the Ramah, of Zayin, the Mishabur says, it's, it could be like it's connected. We want to be connected to that. Okay. Beseder. Moving on to Zayin Kuf Mem Ches. Ein Shlech Sivur Rashai Lahavshit Ateva Vitzivur Kolz Man Shehem Vesach Nesis. So, it seems like once upon a time, they would have like nice, handkerchiefs near the teva. So when they finish, they can't start undoing it then and there. So after davening, Angel is Rashai Lahavshi Teva of the Tzibur calls man Shem Vezekneses. Pirashi she regilin Lahavi Sevator and Beis Acher she mistramerespa. Ad Shetarech Tzibur who Lizakev Sham. It's not really Sonogea. We don't want to Akkad the Tzvila. Again, it doesn't really happen today. Okay. Vaitur Kuf Mem Tes. Anasi Rashai Lahavshi Vezekneses Ad she gets new safer Torah. You can't leave Shul until they put the Sefer Torah away. If one person has to leave, it's not a problem. It's not like leaving in the middle of Kriya. But you shouldn't have a mat. You shouldn't, you know, not everybody should leave at that point. It's not mechubin. If there's only one door, so you don't want to leave in front of the Sefer Torah. You should leave after the Sefer Torah. So there's an Indian to be malav the sefer, take the sefer Torah out of the aron so people walk with it. And you can't have everybody doing this, otherwise you're going to have a traffic jam. It's going to be like, you know, Hashanahs. But we don't want to have a matzah like that, but we want to have a few people walking around, walking with the sefer to show cover. People go, they go to kiss the sefer, show respect. Yeah, I mean, I don't think most schools is like that. It's a little much, you know. I've seen people who walk, you know, a few feet, walk four amos to Malava. It's a question of showing respect. It's not so respectful if everybody leaves their seat and then you get stuck and you can't move. It's not... Yeah. Okay. Okay. Enough room. If the hallways are wide, we mean there's space, then it's easier. Komos shemitznino so veheichal shuhu aron veisakneses mitzvah lechol misha over in lefalav levoso ad lefnei aron vechen golel yelech achar sevitora aron. There's any of the golel, the mepia and the golel go after. Omid sham ashichzu sevitora lemakoma vechenu hagi mepia sevitora ki hu ikar golel. The kid should come. You know, the Sfarim are into this. The Yimloch Hashem Lo'olam, they have after the Kriya, and they give out candies to the kids, and they call comments kids to Sefer Torah. But it's a very nice practice to get people involved. Again, there's a famous Shla where he speaks about bringing kids to Shul. You have to be very careful. You don't want the kids to make noise. But for them to come in for a few minutes to kiss the Sefer Torah is certainly not a problem. The rest of the time, if they're not able to daven, they should probably be, you know, outside. It shouldn't be, Shul is not a babysitting station. But again, you have to balance it. It's not always sometimes challenging because, you know, today, Baruch Hashem, women also want to daven. So when a woman has a baby, she's never going to come to Shul. You know, so once upon a time, that's the way it was. You know, there was no Eruv. And even if there was, the woman didn't want to come to Shul. So Baruch Hashem, we live in a generation where women want to come to daven. So you have to figure out how to juggle it. If there are two minyanim, the man goes to the early minyan, the woman goes to the second minyan, that's Shalom Al Yisrael. There's only one minyan, so you have to figure out a way to juggle it. You know, even if you bring a kid to Shul, if he makes noise, you should take him out, at the very least. It shouldn't be that kids are making noise and, oh, it's wonderful. It's, you know, nachas. It's not a place for kids to make noise. Same time, it's educationally valuable to have children in shul, even young children. But you have to figure out how to balance it. I had my first child. I was living in the Heights, and my wife liked coming to shul. And we would bring her to shul. I was wearing the baby, you know, like a baby pair or whatever. And some people got very upset. So I went to Rav Lau, who was a mashgiach, and I said, listen, I'm very makvid, you know, if the baby's making noise, I'll leave. And just to have, having a baby in shul is like disturbing, you know, this baby's cute, so if people can't keep their eyes off the baby, that's a problem. They should look in their sitter, you know what I'm saying? So he gave a shmooz about this, you know, about the need to be sensitive, to balance. Again, you have to know how to balance. It's not, all of life is like that. But to say that you can't have any kids in shul, no kids are allowed, that's, I think, a little bit too extreme. Oh, Begadisha, Shiloh Begadisha. Right. Okay, I don't know. Those days, I don't know.
Were you wearing one of those scarves?
I was wearing a scarf, exactly, yes. So the Rambam wore a scarf, so anyway, they happy to say it's a Begadisha to wear a mitzvah. The Rambam wore a mitzvah. Okay.
You know
Right. Okay. The Seder.
Rambam didn't wear a collar.
Mistaminat, mistaminat.
In the picture, you got
them. Okay. Seder. Let's begin Hilchos Ves Knesses. Simon Kuvnon, Kofin, Vnei Ir, Zeze, Livnos Ves Knesses, Livnos Lehem Tar, Nevim Ksuvin. So there's a mitzvah to have a shul. You can't just daven, you know, outside. And it costs money. So the community can force members of the community to contribute to the building fund. There's a discussion in post-game, you know, how it is based on your wealth. It's based on the amount of people in your family. You know, if a big family should give more. It seems like it's based on wealth for trying to purchase build a building. If you're just renting, so then part of it is also a function of how many people you are. You have to rent a bigger place, so you have more people, so you should contribute more. It's half based on wealth, half based on people. It's a whole discussion. Today, usually, you know, you have a building fund, and we don't have the ability to impose, like, this family should give this amount. So it doesn't work that way anymore. So you try to give people, you know, the chance to contribute. So we'll give a plaque, we'll give we'll give a cardboard, whatever, you know, is going to help people.
Positive
encourage.
Incentives.
Pardon?
Positive reinforcement.
Right, different incentives. And okay. So in addition to having a basic analysis, you also have to have a Sefer Torah and Nevi'im Ksuvim. The Pashas, that just means a Tanakh to read from. Here in Yerushalayim, the minhag is to have a klaf. So if you live in a place where that's the minhag, the tzibur would have to fund that as well. In most places, that's not the minhag. We follow the minhag of the Gra. In most places, they just have a Tanakh. Also, the post can bring down, you should have, you know, basic svarim. If people don't have svarim in their homes, you should make sure that the shul has a Shas, and a Rambam, and a Mishnayis. Again, if people have svarim, that's great. But if they don't, it's important that that's available to the community for the learning needs of the community. Again, they don't need to have an Otzer Svarim, you know, a huge Svarim. They have to have the basics. Right. So Shaila, you know, if they only have enough money to buy Sefer Torah or Rav Chaim, it's a big discussion. Okay, but it's the Lader, so we can say. Ein vonim v'esa knesses ela gova shel ir. The shul is supposed to be the highest building in the town. Magbino sa ad sheye gavoa mikol bat ya'ir. I mean, it should be in the highest place in the city, like on the mountain, and it should be the highest building. If you have some towers that people don't use, then that's not significant, but it should be the highest functional building. If you have a roof that is slanted, so the area that's usable, that's considered the highest point. So this is a halacha that nobody keeps. Part of the reason nobody keeps, I shouldn't say nobody, there are some yeshuvim in Eretz Yisrael where they're built, you know, from yeshuvim, and they actually follow this halacha, and the shul is the highest place, and it's the biggest building. The idea is to show kavod for the Beis Knesses, which is Makom Avodas Hashem, to be the highest. We lived in Galus for many years, and we didn't have the ability to do this. You know, sometimes the church had to be the highest building, you know. And if it wasn't, we weren't able to actually, you know, keep this halacha. So Rama writes, "Hashem tchak, sheish emas malchus, sheina rishayin livnos beis knesses gadino, mutar lispal beis avav bishadarch darin avaliya lagavav." So if you can't, and even if there are people living on top of the shul, sometimes they have a shul at the bottom floor, and people live on top. Vilvad shein hagav aliya v'nikios. So there's an issue of living on top of the shul. So v'diave, it's also a mutar. You had a question?
Muslims are very mocked on this. I heard that in the old city when they built
the
Korba,
they were
nervous because the Korba was a little bit higher than the rock.
Apparently
they put a big spire on the rock just so it was like, you know.
Okay, so the Muslims
high.
Are. Okay, interesting.
So that's the rumor behind the flag in Akota. They wanted it to be higher.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah, so different cultures, they're different. Like I said, it's very hard to be mocked on this. Some posts can also give other schools. They argue that today people don't view, you know, the height of the building as being significant. Meaning you can have like a 14-story apartment building, but every floor is a regular floor. But a shul, it could be it's not so high, but the area in the shul, the airspace is high. It's a high ceiling. High ceiling is what the halach is. It should be a high ceiling of the sea. That's what it means. That's some argue. It's hard to know. In Lamaisa, we don't have the ability, so it's really kind of a moot. The upshot is that shul should be nice. It should be mechubed. If you have a nice home, you should build a nice shul. This issue of living on top of a shul, there's a famous Taz here, where he says that he used to live on top of a shul, and then his children died, and he attributed it to this idea of living on top of a shul. Some people are very, very nervous about this. Often in cities, you have a minyan in your basement, so you live on top of the shul. You know, so the poskim speak about how you should make sure, at least on top of where the Aron Kodesh is, it shouldn't be a bathroom, it shouldn't be a bedroom, it should be, just put like an Aron on top of where the Aron Kodesh is, meaning try to, so that seems to be, some people are very mocked about it, other people aren't, there are different practices. Some poskim say that if it's two floors above, it's not the same. It's only the floor directly above the shul. So if it's two floors above, you can even have a bathroom there. It's not a problem. Different approaches. On top of, the women's section is also part of the shul. Would be okay, I guess, yeah. No.
By the way, on the second floor of black.
Yeah.
There's like the donor hall with couches.
Uh-huh.
I got yelled at by this old man while you before, like standing there.
So you shouldn't stand there because it's above the Aron Kodesh. Right. So some people, I don't know if it's attached to Bezayon. It's not exactly Bezayon, but some people are very mad about this, and others aren't. They apparently, the architect who built the clock wasn't so concerned about it. Okay. I don't know if he asked the Rav Schachter.
It's not past, though. He said that the Aron,
people are wondering, Mach, but usually just put something there. Put something there, then you're not going to, you know. Fine. Gimel. Mishe, Gbia, Beis, Yosem, Beis, Knesset, Yesh, Omi, Shkofin, Aslash, Shpilo. At the time when they were Machmin on this, so then if you built your house higher, so they might make you take down that floor. Or otherwise, you can raise up the Beis Knesset. You know, the point is the Beis Knesset should be the highest. Also, Bin Gavo, Yosem, Karen, Echad, Beis Knesset, Sagi. If you raise the Beis Knesset, even on one side, that's sufficient. Okay. Fine. So there's dinim of hilchos shkeinim. You shouldn't like take away people's airspace and their light. So if you're near a shul needs a lot of light. So you shouldn't build another building right next to the shul. You have to give cover to the shul. They need more light, more air. But it works in both directions. Sometimes, in my neighborhood, I live next to a shul that has a vasikin minyan. And during slichos, they're like, you know, on top of their lungs, 4:30 in the morning. So you have to have kavod for in both directions. Again, it's not here in Shulchan Aruch, but it makes sense that just like you have to respect the building of the shul, so also the shul should respect the neighbors, and they shouldn't be making noise, at odd hours. Okay. The Seder. Weiter, ein poschin, Pesach, Beis Knesses, Keneged, Ella Keneged Hatzad Shemaspel Ma'alvin Bob Osa Ir. So if you daven towards east, so the shul should be, opposite the Aron Kodesh. You should enter the shul and you should see the Aron Kodesh in front of you. Mispalin Marav is Fitzku the Mizrach, Kadeshi Yishtachavu Mina Pesach Neged Aron Shu Beruach Shemispalin Negda. Again, we don't always have the ability, luxury to be makel these things. There are certain laws and regulations in the city, how to build buildings. So it's not always feasible. And even not for the city, just in terms of the architecturally, you want to have more seats. So you're not going to be mivat there on seats in order to get this hidu. But this is the ideal way of being a shul, that the Pesach should face the Aron. Open the door and go. Okay. Also in Bima, Be'emsa, Beis Knesses, you should have a Bima in the middle, She'yamur, Alea, Kore, Betorah, V'yashmu, Kulam, Shpalash, Lechzibur, Panof, Klavi, Kodesh, the chazan should daven towards the Aron Kodesh. V'seder yeshiva kach, zekeni yoshim yifneim klavi ha'am, v'shar ha'am kulim yoshim shuras shuros. The rabbanim sit in front facing the people. And then the rest of the people are sitting in rows. V'neim klavi ha'kodesh, v'nei zekeni, facing. And these things aren't ma'akev. Many shuls, they have different types of architecture. You have people sitting straight and on the sides. And it's not really ma'akev. In many shuls, the rabbi doesn't face the community.
Right.
I mean, for Shmanase, certainly.
No, I know.
But for, I don't know if it's necessary. I don't know if it's necessary. I mean, in general, it's good to not be parchment at seaboards. If everybody's facing one way, you're facing the other way, it looks a little mana. But Alpidin, I don't think it's necessary. Like I said, the architecture changed for generations. The point is, the shul should be nice. It should be beautiful. And some of the posts were very nervous about putting the bima, you know, in the front. Apparently, in churches, like everything's kind of going on. Or for carrots, maybe the amud is usually in the front, and then by the goyim, they have it in the middle. So the reform wanted to do that. So then they were very, you know, concerned that you shouldn't have the chazan in the middle, and that's only Kabbalah Shabbos, not by davening. That's why you have it. But the way is that today the reform isn't, you know, we don't have these, these wars are, you know, gone and over with. So, you know, whatever, if the people need to hear and they have the chazan in the middle, so it's fine. The Sfarim always have the chazan in the middle. They, you know, it's not, it seems like, right, in terms of musical instruments, b'kfiyus. But even then, you know, sometimes people will bring in for a simple space shoeva, or they have, you know, a musical halal. Some people like it, some people don't like it. I don't think anybody's going to ask for a musical halal as chukuzaku. You know what I'm saying? You're right, we don't have an organ. Okay, I don't know if anybody wants an organ anymore. But, like, certain things did stick, but... Because it's not really technically part of davening. So if Ashkenazim, with Ashkenazim, the chazan always stands at the front. But Vachal Shabbos, it's a show, it's not part of davening. But Lamaisa, I daven in a shul where it's a very long and narrow shul, so the chazan always stands in the middle. Because if it's stood by the Aron Kodesh, nobody would be able to hear in the back. So if it's necessary, it's necessary. You know what I'm saying? It's okay. Yeah? Uh-huh. Okay. Interesting. Right, that was in the 50s. That was true, was written in the 50s. So those are like hot button issues at that point. Some people have practiced the chazan stands in a lower area. I mean, mamakim presi Hashem. It's not very, you know, it's not so common. They're different minhagim. Okay. Yeah, I'm not sure what's right with that is. I don't know. You know, I think it makes sense to. Right. I guess we'll stop now.